Amen. Thank you very much. It's great to be here with you guys. One of my most vivid childhood memories is when I stumbled upon a family secret. So I was walking through my house and I accidentally discovered a closet under the stairs. And I couldn't quite open it, but I could get my hand inside. And I rummaged inside. I didn't really know why I was doing this, but I did. I rummaged inside and I could feel something. I felt a book. So I reached inside, I pulled it out, opened the first page and read what I saw. And it said, "In the beginning, God created the world." Genesis 1. And I froze. I started to shiver and I dropped the book on the floor. This discovery could cost me my life. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't just leave the Bible there. So I took a deep breath. I picked up the Bible and I put it back where I left it, where I found it. I had a choice to make, the biggest choice of my life so far. Do I betray my parents and tell my teachers about this? Do I risk getting them sent away? I couldn't think about anything else for 15 days. And eventually, I plucked up the courage to talk to my father about it. Now, it's unlikely that any of your early childhood memories are like that. Mine certainly aren't. That's not my memory. But that is the memory of a 12-year-old girl from North Korea called Sang-hwa. This is a girl who is now a grown-up lady, and she shares her story as part of Open Doors Ministry. And I want you to take a moment, if you can, to imagine that you've grown up in North Korea, where the country's leaders are amongst your first words. Pictures of them take pride of place on your living room wall. Teachers tell you how to read, how to write, and how to spy on your parents and your family. They tell you particularly to look for a forbidden little black book. And if you find one, your choice is betray your parents so they could be sent away to a labor camp, or try and speak to your parents and decide whether you too want to live out dangerous faith. What would you do? So this is part of what we call persecution of Christians. Persecution's a very big word, but we want to explain it a little bit. And for that, I want two volunteers, come on. There's sweets involved. Sweets involved, come on. I've got one. Somebody double my numbers. There we go, yes, fantastic. Good stuff. What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel, everybody? Say hello, Daniel. And what's your name again, sorry?
Jess,
okay. So this is a catching competition. So I've got a ball, courtesy of my boys at home. It's got Lightning McQueen on it. It's very cool. Do not lose it. There you go. So if you stand there and you stand there, I'm going to have a catching competition. I want to see how well you can catch. And whoever can catch the best is going to win this competition. Is that all right? Feel confident? No. Do you feel confident? You do. Okay. So I'm going to count to three. And on three, I want you to throw it, okay? One, two. Hang on. No, wait. Really sorry about this. You're quite small, aren't you? Really? Well, you are quite small. So could you just stand on one leg for me? Is that all right? Just stand for the whole game. Is that all right? Brilliant. Thank you. Okay. I'm really sorry about that. I hope this is not putting you off. It's fine. Okay. I'm going to count to three again. One, two. Hang on. Sorry. Could you actually get down on your knees for me? Is that all right? Thank you. And I'm going to tie this scarf around your face so you can't see anything. Because you're just too small. I'm sorry about this. And to make things worse, it's a Southampton Football Club scarf. Yay! Brilliant. Okay. Feeling confident? Okay. One, two, three. You've already won. Yay! Fantastic. Good stuff. Right, okay. Would you like a sweet? Okay, you can give it to someone. And you know what? You can have his because he's small. Thank you very much. Brilliant. There you go. You can go away now. Come back. Come back. Can you catch? Can you actually catch? There you go. Brilliant. So, I always feel a little bit mean when I do that. Was this game fair? No. How do you think he felt that I was picking on him just because he was small? Not good, yeah? Probably felt quite small, yes, correct. It's not fair, it's not right, it's not just. And when we talk about being persecuted Christians, is that Christians around the world are being, in a way, picked on or persecuted just because their faith in Jesus. And instead of missing out on sweets, actually what they're missing out on is freedom. These Christians, when they meet in their churches, they don't know if they're going to be arrested on their way out or worse. Persecution can be violent. It can mean a lack of opportunities. It means you can't meet in social groups. It can mean your family or your community reject you. It can mean death. All these things is what we talk about with persecution. It's unfair. It's unjust. And it's wrong. So, some people still ask us, but why does this matter? What's the biblical grounding in this? And our reading, which was so wonderfully read, it really was. You know what, I was going to pull out this morning that our reading, actually the first time I read it, I laughed. Not a bad bit, but I laughed. Because it talks about a whole body of eyeballs, which is just a bit gross, isn't it? It's just a bit weird. And a lot of the New Testament mentions suffering. It's written by persecuted Christians, for persecuted Christians, in the context of, or surrounded by, persecution. And the guy that wrote a lot of it, 13 of 27 books, is a guy called Paul. He himself persecuted Christians, then met Jesus, so of course became persecuted himself. And then he starts writing about whole bodies of eyeballs. And you think, Paul, really? One shipwreck too many? Have you gone a little bit? But what he's getting at here is a fantastic thing. My notes have gone to sleep. Technology is a wonderful thing, isn't it? When it works. What Paul is getting at, that as Christians, as people who have chosen to follow Jesus, we have the Spirit dwelling in us. We have God's love dwelling in us. And what that does is that it means that we're connected. We're a family bound together all over the world. It is true for our local church. It is true for the global church. And it should hurt us when we hear about Christians being persecuted in the other side of the world. But also, we should honour and rejoice when we hear stories of Christians around the world that are doing amazing, brave things for our faith. So, the next slide. Thank you for doing the slides along. I completely forgot to do them. The next slide I'm going to show you is something we put a lot of time and effort in putting together every year. And it's our World Watch List. The top 50 countries where Christians are persecuted around the world. Okay, so every country that's not grey, Christians are seeing high or extreme levels of persecution. Okay? That's a lot of the world. That map represents, and it's just the top 50, 260 million Christians. 260 million Christians that are showing high or extreme levels of persecution. Put another way, that is 1 in 8 roughly 1 in 8 Christians around the world are persecuted. So how many are there? I'm going to say there's about 8 full rows full here. So could this row, could you just stand up for me quickly? Is that all right? Thank you. And just face the church behind you, if that's okay. Okay. So if these guys were being extreme or high levels of persecution was happening to them, what would you guys do? What would you guys do? You'd pray for them. You'd support them. You try and find their needs. Some of you are pulling faces. No, maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. I thought they would be for you. You'd support them, wouldn't you? Because who else is going to support them if not their church family? And it's the same for our global church family. Thank you, guys. You can sit back down. If we're not going to look after them, who else will? Can the other 7 not pray for the one? Can it lift up the one? And some people then, what they do is they look at this map and they just get a little bit depressed by the numbers that are involved here. And I can see why. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of injustice. But actually, also what I see is a map of hope. Because what this represents as well is 260 million Christians that are willing to live for Jesus no matter the cost. 260 million Christians that are willing to live for Jesus no matter the cost, that have brave faith that, you know what, I can honour and rejoice in. It is a map also of hope. If you've ever had a rabbit in the headlights moment when you've been talking about your faith, if you have ever felt like you're committing social suicide by admitting that you go to church on a Sunday, if you have ever had to feel like you've defended choices you've made because, you know what, my faith tells me that's not right, if you've ever not laughed at a joke that you think's just a bit too rude, and you just feel alone, and you feel like you're suffering, I want to tell you that you're not alone. The history of the church, the history of Christians, is a profound story of persecution. You are not alone. You are not alone. Somebody who knows they're not alone is a guy called Pastor Azod. He comes from Central Asia. It's the place with all the sort of Stan countries, so Afghanistan. And in his country, they made it illegal to talk about Jesus to anybody under the age of 16. So as a church leader, what does he do? He stepped down from his role as a church leader and headed up the children's and youth ministry. Because if anybody's going to have the most dangerous job in the church, it was Pastor Azod. He was willing to risk being arrested, taking away to a prison, which are not like our prisons, there are a lot worse, to tell under 16s about Jesus. And he says, persecution teaches you to really know Jesus, not just know of him. When you share in Jesus' suffering, you really get to know Jesus and experience the depth of really knowing him. Azod was willing to risk persecution to teach the young people about Jesus. That's a deep truth that we often miss in our very safe, comfortable UK church. You can encounter Jesus more deeply, and these can be the times when we see Jesus most clearly. So sometimes when faced with this, all we can do is pray. But sometimes that's really hard. Don't know what to pray. Don't know where to start. And it can be difficult. But in 1 Timothy 2, it says, the first thing you should do is pray in every way you can to all people. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what it's saying, is that you need to pray. And our founder, Brother Andrew, said, if we fully understood the power of prayer, We'd be on our knees 100 times a day asking God to turn the world upside down. We also have a story of a minister in Turkmenistan who says, "Your prayers were like a ring of fire protecting me against my persecutors. When it was cold, the Lord saved me. When it was hot, Jesus gave me shade. I knew you were praying for me." So we can all identify that prayer is important. I want to show you a video of a legend that we met called Eleanor. She is only 14, and we met her at Soul Survivor this last summer. Then just pray, because that's like your greatest weapon. I love that. Then just pray, because that's like your greatest weapon. We are seeing many people learn to pray, teenagers and adults, by just getting the stories, getting the prayer points from the persecuted church, and then just getting on and praying, getting them down on their knees and getting on with it. Could that be you? That's my question to you today. Something that my main priority here is to share some stories of the persecuted church and to ask you guys to stand with them in prayer. So after this service, I will be I'll be out there with lots of stuff, lots of ways for you to get involved. You can sign up to get your own World Watch List map for completely free. We'll send it to you as soon as it's printed. And you can come and get those and lots of other things. If you are on Instagram, get your phone out now, follow us, and then put it straight away, because I don't want you looking at it when you're worshiping. But we on that account, we post stories of Christians that are suffering for their faith, but as I said, there's huge lessons of hope to pull out of it. Thank you very much. So we're just going to go into a time of worship, but I'm going to pray first, and then I think the band's going to come up and start playing.